And I believe if it challenged my heart, I hope it would challenge your heart. Like Pastor Roach used to always say, we're all trying to grow up. We're all trying to improve ourselves. We're all trying to learn about this life. You know, it seems like the older you get, the at least for me, the more I learn, the more I find out what I don't know. And anyway, it's good to be saved. It's good to be here. We're going to be looking in, you can turn to two places while we'll be opening up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then also 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Like I said, the Lord has really been working on my heart in this area. And really convicting, a lot of convicting thoughts have come to mind studying this and writing this down. And I hope it's a blessing to you. Let us start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, and then read through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so as by fire." Remember those two words, or these two sentences really. He shall suffer loss, or he shall receive a reward. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm sorry, 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Dealing with the same thoughts here. Really just going to read one verse here for now. And verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Let's open up in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, Lord. Thank you for that we can be here, Lord, just to gather together in your name. Lord, please help me as I try to preach, Lord, your word. I pray that you would just encourage and strengthen our hearts, convict us, Lord, where we do need to change things maybe. And Lord, I know you've convicted me in areas. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to redeem the time that we have. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in these two passages what we know as the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're saved tonight, if you're a born-again believer, you will appear at this judgment, not the great white throne judgment. There's a big difference there. We will stand before God one day and give account for our lives. We will stand before God. The first thing I see when I read this verse here in verse 10, it says, "For we must all." Just look at that word "all" right there. You know, many times I think we do not view this day as something that, you know, is important, or maybe we even forget about this day, and we forget that we will all stand before God one day, and maybe it just doesn't have the preeminence it should in our lives. Again, the Lord has really been dealing with me about this. And this day, in reality, really should set the tone for our whole life. Where we go, what we do, what we allow into our lives, all this is going to come to be open before God. That word there, manifest, simply means open before all. You know, God is going to judge everything in our lives, the hidden things. This is a real event that is going to take place. And I was thinking about asking if any of you ever had to appear in a court, or I don't know if I want to do that though. Brother Farr can probably attest to this, but have you ever received that notice in the mail that you had jury duty? Did you just throw that thing in the trash? The only time I have ever had jury duty or was called for jury duty, I was able to be excused from it, but I had to go through a process, and I didn't take it lightly. And if you've ever had to appear in court, you understand that you couldn't just throw off that responsibility. You will appear there one way or the other. So, and this day is nothing different. We will stand before God. Even, like I said, the great white throne judgment, even the atheist that spends his life denying there's a God, he is going to stand before God. We will all be present at this day. There will be no excuses. You know, we give lots of excuses why we can't do things, why we can't maybe come to church a certain time, or there is no excuse. Just like I got excused from jury duty, there is no excuse to miss this day. And we will give account at that time. And Matthew 25:31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Notice there, all nations, we all will stand before God. All the nations will be gathered. And it says in Romans 14:11-12, it says, "For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Having this knowledge should make us want to please our Lord every day, please our Lord and Savior. From pretty clear teaching, the Bible is showing us here that we will all stand before God. And now that we've established who's going to be there, we know that we're going to be there. Secondly, but one of the most importantly, I see here is that we will be judged as we really are. Maybe you've done this in your mind as well. We can deceive ourselves. Our hearts are very deceitful. We might think when we stand before God, we will be able to give an excuse or give Him, try to deceive Him. But we know that is not true. God can see the inner man. And notice the, let's read verse 10 here again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Notice it is the real you giving account. Giving account what you did in the body. When you stand before God, you know, Pastor said it many times lately, you know, we are a soul with the body. What's going on in our inner man? What is deep down where no one else can see but God? It is the inner man here that is being judged and given account of what he did in the body. And again, that word manifest, open before all. That day will reveal it. And 1 Corinthians 3:13, it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." And 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." Judge nothing before the time. You know, we can judge each other. We can look at each other tonight, and we can say, "Brother Conley looks pretty good. He's at church tonight." We can judge each other. We can take account of, where each other are at in our Christian walk. The Bible says, "Don't judge before the time." There may be there may be someone that you did not judge to be spiritual, maybe, in this life. But when we stand before God, that is what's going to matter. Maybe they had spirituality that we did not know of. And, of course, that will be made manifest in our lives as well. Remember Samuel. Really good illustration. Samuel went to choose the next king of Israel. And he came to the house of Jesse there. And Jesse had all of his sons. And Samuel, when the first son came to him, he said, surely this is he. But again, he was looking on the outer appearance. And we know that God looks on the inner man. Too often, we try to make the outward man shine and let the inner man suffer. Turn to Acts chapter 5, if you would. Acts chapter 5, really good example here. Acts chapter 5. Probably everybody knows this story, but studying it in this light, I've even seen things that I didn't realize or just didn't take note of. But Acts chapter 5 is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Let's go ahead and read here in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Notice there he said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? We too often try to lie to the Holy Ghost and try to deceive. And we see through this example that it didn't work. It didn't work for him. In verse 3 it says, verse 4, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Ananias and Sapphira thought they could get by with lying to the Holy Spirit. Again, they tried to make their outer man shine, but their inner man was not right. They had the option of giving whatever portion of that land. They didn't have to sell the land in the first place. They didn't have to give any portion of the profit of that possession, but they chose to sell it, and they chose to take the money. But they also chose to keep back a part, but said that they gave it all. And they were judged accordingly. And a great example the Lord has given us, that we cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. If we don't judge ourselves now, if we don't take these things to heart now, make the corrections now, what is it going to be like for us when we stand before God? Are we going to have any of the gold, the precious stones, or is it all going to go up in flames? Again, this all has been on my mind, and the Lord's been just working. I hope I can develop these thoughts into your heart. And it says here in 1 John 2:28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." We may have confidence and not be ashamed. I can take from this verse that there's two ways you can enter heaven. You can either have confidence or you can be ashamed. What is it going to be? Are we going to have confidence in that day of judgment? Or are we going to have to stand before the Lord ashamed? Are we going to suffer loss, or are we going to gain a reward? We must seek an inner desire for excellence. We must be ones to seek God alone, and please God alone. It all starts in our hearts. What the Lord has really been dealing with me about is developing an inner excellence to where in every situation in my life, in even in the minutest things that man may never see until judgment day. How am I just judging myself by what people see, or am I judging myself by how God sees me in light of judgment? These are very sobering thoughts. It's not so much in that the place we are sometimes. We say we're faithful to church, which is good. But what was your attitude when you were here? What was our motivation to be here? I think it was Jim Elliot. I didn't get to check this quote. Jim Elliot, the missionary. But he said, wherever you find yourself, be all there. Don't be half-heartedly. Wherever you find yourself, be all there. Sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes I'm just there. but we need to develop this attitude of wherever we are, we need to be there. We need to be aware of what's around us and what can we do in every moment, every minute of our lives for God's glory. Again, how many times do we seek the outer praise of men and lose the eternal reward? And we're told in the scriptures to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, I did this again just the other day. Many of you probably have done it. The scriptures say that we are given, 70, which is 70 years. And some of us more, some of us less. But every one of those days, we will give an account for. Now, I took my age, and I just did this the other day, just to renew my thoughts and try to put in perspective of how many days do I have. We don't know how many days we have. Many times, I think I have plenty of time, but in reality, we don't know. If I live to be 70, I will have had 25,550 days. And I have already lived 9,617 of those days. If I live to be 70, which is a big if. And how many of those days, that leaves me 15,933 days to yet live. So I encourage you to do that. Go home, get your calculator out, and it'll bring a perspective to your mind. How many days do we have to do something for God? But I wonder how many of these days I've lived for self, and how many I've actually given to God. And I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. In my mind, when I look at the short years I've lived, I don't know if I could say I've given the majority of my days to the Lord. I would hope I could say that, and Judgment Day will declare it. But that encouraged me more to aspire to be better, to give every moment, every hour for God. Now, I read this quote recently, and this short little quote just grabbed my attention, and I knew as soon as I put this sermon together, this quote is going to be in this sermon. It says, today I have given everything that I have. That which I have kept, I have lost forever. Let me read that again. Today I have given everything that I have. That which I have kept, I have lost forever. Now you think about that for a minute. What I have done today, just today, that will never come my way again. And what I've kept back, What I chose not to give, what I chose not to do for the Lord, I've lost forever. Every day we are given that opportunity to lay up treasure. We must not sacrifice eternity on the altar of today. Lastly, we see in this passage, if you go back to 2 Corinthians with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. It's going to be a day of rewards. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about our works being tried, and the gold, the silver, the precious stones, those things will remain, but the wood, hay, and stubble, the fire is going to just consume it. And so we must examine our lives to see what kind of works are we performing in our life every day. Are they going to be works that will remain through the fire, or are they going to be burnt? Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face. Thou that appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through, nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is your inner man tonight? What is the inner man that no one else can see? Where is it at tonight? Again, these thoughts have been very convicting to me. What am I going to say to God when I stand before Him about those days that I did not do my best? I did not do my best. Where is our inner man tonight? I'm done tonight. That's all I have in this message tonight. But I just want to encourage you, as the invitation starts, ask the Lord, what can I do better? What can I do more? The Lord has convicted me where and how I should use my time more wisely. Our days are short. Our days are fragile. If I live to be 70, that's nothing, as many of you know. But I'm asking Brother Jacobs to come. Let's close in prayer here as we begin the invitation. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to preach. Lord, I'm truly not, Lord, I'm the least of any that could preach here tonight, Lord. Lord, I know you've convicted me in these areas. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help us as we draw closer to you. Help us to gain wisdom in how and where and when to lay up our treasures, Lord. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Pray if God's talked to you. That was a very sobering message. A little heart check there. See where you're at. Have you done your best for Jesus? So we're going to go ahead, and Mitch is going to lead us in some prayer if God spoke to your heart.
Let's all stand. Turn over to page 520. Have I done my best?